Welcome to the Rage Podcast. We hope that you find this week's message encouraging. Well, tonight we have a very, very special guest coming up here to speak. Great friend of mine. And I'm going to tell you guys this. I don't say this lightly. David and Lisa have been great friends of Mandy and I. We served together up in Midland. We've known each other. We figured about 10 years. We haven't really kept track of that. We were guessing. We're like, probably 10. David and Lisa are very, very close to our hearts. They're pastors down at Journey Life Church. Pastor Lisa is the kids' pastor. Pastor David is the associate pastor. They're doing a phenomenal, phenomenal job. And one thing about a Christian walk is we're not called to do life alone. Pastor David and Pastor Lisa are two people that Mandy and I journey life together. We do life with them. Literally every Monday we meet and we talk about our frustrations. We talk about our fears. We talk about our wins in Jesus, and we encourage each other. We pray for each other because that's what we're called to do as Christians, as followers of Jesus. And so when I say David and Lisa are great friends of ours, it is not an understatement. David is somebody who I look up to. He is somebody who I go to when I need advice. I consider him as somebody that I would confide in if I really need to figure out something in my life, because I trust him. He's one of my best friends. I'm just really proud of the work him and his wife are doing. And they got their awesome baby back there. Give it up for Braden. He's like, what is this? So with all of that being said, I want you guys to give Pastor David the same amount of attention and respect that you would give me as I'm speaking. He is going to bring an amazing word tonight that God has laid on his heart for you. So give it up for Pastor David Homrich. Coming on down.
Too kind. Oh, sweet. You left these up here for me? Sweet. I'll just put them back here so you guys can look at them. How are you guys doing tonight? That good, huh? That was embarrassing. Carl said you guys were a rowdy bunch, and I don't believe him so far. But we'll see if you guys get any better. I am very excited to have the opportunity to speak to Rage, which I consider Rage one of the greatest youth groups on the planet. And seriously, I want to let you guys know that you guys have one of the top youth pastors in the entire nation, the whole United States of America, in Pastor Carl and Mandy. You guys don't even know. Like, you can't even. You can't even. That's it. There's no more. You can't even. So if you have never taken the opportunity to go up to Pastor Carl or Mandy and say how much you appreciate them, take 15 seconds, not minutes, take 15 seconds, because there's a lot of you. And so if you each took 15 minutes, we'd be here all the way until like Monday morning. So just take 15 seconds, go up to Pastor Carl, go up to Mandy, and really encourage them and let them know what they mean to you. And like Pastor Carl said, he's one of my closest friends. And I value every single minute that I get to spend with him and talk with him. We talk a lot about Jesus. We talk a lot about our jobs as pastors. And it's one of those friendships where I feel so built up when I leave spending time with Carl. I feel so encouraged. And that's what I want to talk to you guys about tonight. We're in the series. You guys are in the series called Foundations. And so I want to talk to you about this idea of godly friendship. So if you have your Bibles, open up to 1 Samuel chapter 18. And I want to take a poll really quick. How many of you have the E-Version Bible? How many of you have the E-Version Bible? Is that even allowed in this youth group to have an E-Version Bible? It's cutting edge, huh? Raise it up if you are using an E-Version. Okay, only the sound booth. Oh, okay, a couple right here. Yes. Now, hold up your Bible if you have the good old tree version. This is the good old tree version, paper. You can highlight in it with a marker or a highlighter. You could use a highlighter. In fact, I would highly encourage a highlighter rather than a marker. But 1 Samuel chapter 18, let me give you some backstory of what's going on up until this point. David was anointed future king of Israel in chapter 16. And then in chapter 17, one of the most well-known stories in the Bible, where David slings a rock at Goliath the giant's head and kills him, and then cuts off his head with a sword and does some really awesome things with it. And then Saul places David in his army because of the amazing work that he did defeating a dude that was like three times his size. So we're going to pick it up. 1 Samuel 18, verse 1. After David had finished talking with Saul, Jonathan became one in spirit with David, and he loved him as himself. From that day, Saul kept David with him and did not let him return home to his family. And Jonathan made a covenant with David because he loved him as himself. Jonathan took off the robe he was wearing and gave it to David, along with his tunic and even his sword, his bow, and his belt. Whatever mission Saul sent him on, David was so successful that Saul gave him a high rank in the army. This pleased all of the troops and Saul's officers as well. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for what you're going to do in this place tonight. God, I pray that you would open our hearts, open our ears. God, that you would do a work in us, God, that is evident to the world outside of these walls. God, that we would be molded and shaped by you. And God, that we would leave this place changed, God, to reach a world and to live a life worthy of the calling that we've received, God. We thank you, Jesus. You are an incredible God. It's in your name we pray. Amen. So I'm going to tell you a pretty deep secret. Is that okay? You guys want to hear a secret? I said, do you guys want to hear a secret? Okay, most of the time when somebody says, do you want to hear a secret, that's something that you get excited about. But I need you to promise me one thing. I need you to promise me that you're not going to make fun of me. Okay? Hold up your hand. Say, I solemnly swear. Okay, that's good enough. That's good enough. Put your hands down. My secret's this. I like shoes. Amen. I like shoes. And I know a lot of you girls are like, oh my gosh, me too. And then a lot of you guys are like, look at this guy. He's such a girl. That's what I was afraid of, is you guys in your minds right now are thinking that I'm some type of girl or something. But I assure you that I'm not. I am not a girl. But here's the thing. I like shoes. I like clean shoes. I like different shoes for different purposes. Okay, my wife will attest that I have shoes for running, and that's all I use them for is running. I have shoes for which they don't get used. No, they do. You are incorrect. You don't know anything. Don't ask my wife anything. She doesn't know. She doesn't know. I love you, honey. No, I have shoes for Sunday. Like, I have Sunday shoes. They're like these hip tennis shoes / cool shoe. I have shoes that I wear to work. I have shoes that I work in the yard in so that they can get dirty. And my other shoes don't get dirty because I don't like dirty shoes. I like clean shoes. I have different shoes for different purposes. But here's the interesting thing about me liking shoes. I can't, bless you, I can't stand, I cannot stand shoes that do not have laces. I hate them. Shoes without laces are glorified slippers. And why on earth would you go into public wearing slippers that look like regular shoes? No, give me a shoe with some laces that I can tie tightly to my feet so they're not slipping around and being all flaky and wanting to slip off my foot. I want shoes that are tied tightly to my feet. I want shoes that are going to go where I want to go, not slip all around and look like, I don't even know. You can tell how passionate I am about the subject. I want shoes that keep me protected. I don't want shoes that are slipping off my feet, making me feel uncomfortable. And I know what you're thinking. Pastor David, what on earth does this secret have to do with godly friendships? Well, I'm going to tell you. Get this. Friends are like shoes. Friends are like shoes. And that's the title of my message tonight. Friends are like shoes. We all have people in our lives that are like the laceless shoes. They make us feel uncomfortable. We all have people that are like laceless shoes where they look a certain way, but realistically, they're just no good for our feet. We have people in our lives that are like good old laced shoes, the way shoes should be. But I think sometimes we have a hard time as Christians walking the line of, I need to reach out to this person, and so I need to bring them in close to my life. And there's that line of, like, I don't want to shut out non-Christians because they need to know Jesus. But at the same time, there's that line of, we need to be guarding who we let in closely to our lives. And so we sometimes have a hard time differentiating which people are good to be our close, godly friends, and which people we intentionally have relationships with. There's a difference. So look back at the text, verse 1. After David had finished talking with Saul, Jonathan became one in spirit with David, and he loved him as himself. Now, I love to do Hebrew and Greek word studies. I love to look at the original language. And so, in the original Hebrew, become one spirit with is all one word. It's the word kesar, the Hebrew word kesar, which means to tie, bind strongly, to be strong. So Jonathan to David was like a nice pair of laced shoes. He was tightly tied to him. He was close to him. He went with David. He wasn't a pair of glorified slippers that looked good on the outside, but deep down on the inside, that he was uncomfortable. He did not make David feel uncomfortable. And I want to help you guys tonight, based off this tiny little passage that we read, just the 5 verses, to give you 3 things to be in your godly friendships and to be looking for in your godly friendships. Because friendship is the paved highway that the Holy Spirit will most travel on. Friendship is the paved highway that the Holy Spirit will most travel on. Do you want to be used in a powerful way by God? 2 of you, great. The rest of you, let's try again. Maybe you didn't hear me. Do you want to be used in a powerful way for God? Do you want your dreams and visions to come to pass that God has placed inside of you? Well, you need to make sure that your friends, the people that you consider closest to you, match these 3 characteristics that we find in these simple 5 verses. This passage of Scripture could be one of the most important passages of Scripture in regards to godly friendships. And I've heard it said by another preacher who I won't say, but I've heard it said that that is a fallback line of any preacher or pastor. Like, you can say that about any verse. So if ever you're sharing something with your friends, you can always say, this is one of the most important passages on whatever I'm talking about. Because nobody can argue with that. Because every passage of the Bible is super important. So nobody will argue. No, you're wrong. No, you're wrong. You can't even argue it. So this is literally, I'm not even joking though, this is one of the most important passages of Scriptures when it comes to godly friendship. So 1, be unusually similar. Be unusually similar. Back in verse 1, Jonathan became one in spirit with David. He loved him as himself. See, friends should be tied tightly together, like a good pair of lace shoes. They should be tight with you. You know, in middle school and high school, you refer to your closest friends as, yo, dog, we're tight, man, right? Is that how it still is? No? Okay. That dates me. Yeah, that was like 10 years ago. And 10 years ago, let me tell you, I was the coolest senior in high school. Don't ask any of the people that went to my high school, though, because they might not say I was the coolest. But you can take my word for it. I was one of the coolest. You know, I was tight, dog. I was tight. But no, friends should be tied tightly together. Friends should value each other. Friends should love each other. Friends should be stronger when they are together. If you are around your friend who is a close, godly friend, together you should be stronger than when you are separated, than when you are alone. Friends should be of the same mind. Of the same mind. There's a huge difference between two people who are both Christians and friends and two people who have honestly created a Christian friendship. See, you can be Christians, you can be a Christian and meet another Christian and have a friendship. But there's a difference when you meet somebody, you find out you have the commonality of believing in our Lord Jesus Christ and honestly creating a friendship based and rooted in that belief that Jesus Christ is Savior of the world. There's a difference. Evaluate your closest friends right now. Do they value you? And do they love you? And do they make you stronger when they are around? What about you? When you are around your friends, do you make them stronger when you're around? Or when you are around, are they subconsciously thinking, man, he just does not build me up. Or she just does not build me up. If she gossips one more time, I'm trying to work on this. So what do people think about when you are around? Number two, be in agreement. Godly friends are in agreement. We need to be in agreement. And Jonathan made a covenant with David because he loved him as himself. Made a covenant with David because he loved him as himself. A covenant unifies two parties. A covenant is an agreement. Again, a covenant ties two people together tightly. Tightly. Jonathan and David talked and made an agreement to be in agreement. They made an agreement, they made a pledge that we will live in agreement with each other. We will live in unity, no matter what the cost. We sang about it. No matter what the cost, we will live in unity for our Lord Jesus Christ. No matter the cost, no matter how we look when we're in school, no matter how we look when we're walking the hallways, no matter how we look when we're passing out cards for iCrave, no matter how we look, no matter what the cost, we will be unified in our godly friendship. Because it's through godly friendships that people are one to Jesus Christ. So are your friends unified with you? Would your friends do anything for you? What about you? Would you do anything for your friends? Probably not if you consider somebody your friend, but it's the second they walk away, you're talking negatively about them to somebody else who maybe isn't quite your friend, but they're one of the more popular kids. And so you're like, man, if only I could just be in that popular circle. So I'm gonna get there no matter what the cost. See, sometimes we live no matter what the cost out in the wrong way. In friendships, it's always easier to be pulled down than to be lifted up. Always easier. I'm like 200 pounds. It'd be much easier to pull me off a shelf, I don't even care who you are, than to lift me up onto a shelf. It's the same way in friendships. So much easier to be pulled down than to be lifted up. But we are called to be lifters of people. We are called to be builders of the kingdom. We're building up. We are not tearing down. Be sure that you are being lifted up when it comes to your friends. Be sure that you are being lifted up and that you are also doing some heavy lifting as well. Number three, be full of humility and transparency. Be full of humility and transparency. In that passage, Jonathan took off the robe he was wearing and gave it to David, along with his tunic and even his sword, his bow, and his belt. This is one of the coolest actions that I see in God's word. Look at this verse really carefully. What Jonathan was doing was totally humiliating himself on purpose in front of David. See, in biblical times, he basically stripped down to his skivvies, okay, to his underwear. He basically stripped all the way down in front of David. Now, this wasn't inappropriate back then like it is today. Please keep your clothes on forever. Don't, like, even shower. Like, keep your clothes on in the shower, please. Just better to be safe than sorry. Just shower with clothing on forever. Don't even, some of you need it anyway. I remember when I was a teen, my clothes just never were clean when I washed them. They still stunk, right? Right? I've ridden in some of your vans after you guys got back from, like, Atlanta. Let me tell you. Whew. Yeah. Yeah. Now I keep a bottle of Febreze in my car labeled Rage Van Spray. No, you guys smell great. Good to see you tonight. But seriously, this was not an inappropriate thing like it would be today. Back then, it was symbolic. What Jonathan was doing, he took off his robe and tunic. What Jonathan was really saying through this symbolism was, I'm letting you see me for who I really am. I cannot hide anything or keep anything from you. Like, I'm not hiding anything in my robe. I'm not hiding anything in my tunic. What you see is what you get. And I'm allowing you to see me for who I really am. I'm not going to be fake around you. And when Jonathan gave David his sword, bow, and belt, what Jonathan was really saying to David was, I will never attack you. I will never come after you. I will never attack you. Here are my weapons. I trust you with my life. Because I'm handing over all of my weaponry, and you could turn around and slay me right here and right now. But David, I trust you with my life. Jonathan illustrates a complete state of humility in their friendship, a true state of transparency, and complete trust in David. Do you see the beautiful picture that God desires that your closest friends would look like? God desires that you would be around friends that would love you, friends that would build you up, friends that would be open and honest with you, loving you for who you are, challenging you in Christ. God desires that the friends around you would be able to humiliate themselves in front of you, and you to do the same. It would be, we'd have to stay here all night to list off the crazy, funny, stupid things that Pastor Carl and Mandy and my wife and I do on Monday nights. We will, like, we're just weird. And Mandy usually tries to take her phone out and, like, video me doing, like, stupid stuff. And I'll be, like, doing something stupid, and I'll see her, and I'm like, get the cool walk going on in case she's filming so that everybody thinks I'm cooler than what I really am. But those are true godly friendships, the ones where you can just let loose and have fun in Christ. Have fun. God wants your friends to be like a good pair of laced shoes, ones that will go with you and help you on your journey with Christ. And here's a bonus. Godly friends will always value your friendship with Jesus above your relationship with them. Godly friends will always put your relationship with Jesus before any other relationship that you have. They will fight for your relationship with Christ. And when you experience a friendship that is unusually similar, that is in agreement, and that is full of humility and transparency, when you experience a godly friend who values your relationship with Jesus more than anything, don't miss this in verse 5. In verse 5 it says, whatever mission Saul sent him on, David was so successful that Saul gave him a high rank in the army. See, in context, what that really means is because of Jonathan's godly friendship with David, David was able to be successful. Amen, Braden. So if you're sitting here tonight and you have this overwhelming feeling of failure, like you'll never be successful, maybe it's not you. Maybe it's the people you've allowed to be closest to you that are holding you back from your full potential. The people you let into your life, the people that you let closest to you, could potentially hold you back from your full potential in Christ. And there's good news. See, God sent his one and only Son to die on the cross so that our sins would be forgiven and we could not only have eternal life. See, we as Christians, we talk a ton about eternal life and being saved from hell, and that's all fine and dandy. That's fantastic. We should talk about that. But I don't think we talk enough about the fact that Christ's death, yes, forgave our sins and gave us access into eternal life. But Jesus wasn't done there. He rose from the dead, defeated death 3 days later. He rose from the dead. Why? To have a friendship with us. He desires to have a friendship with us. Is that not incredible? The God of all of the universe, who is infinitely bigger than you could ever possibly imagine, came down to earth, died on the cross, and then defeated death. Like, it could have been done there. It could have been, okay, I died for sins, I'll see you in heaven. No, he raised his own life from the grave so that he could have relationship with you. He had you in mind. I don't doubt it. He had you in mind. Hebrews 10, 19 through 25. Therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain, that is his body, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and with the full assurance that faith brings, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience, and having our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And this is key. This is key. 24. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Jesus is coming back for his people, and that is you. If you believe in Jesus, he's coming back someday for you. But what the writer in Hebrews is saying is, until that day comes, don't stop meeting with your godly friends, and find whatever way possible to build them up, to spur them on, to continue living the life worthy of the calling that we have received. And so I brought this rope. By the way, I drank my Monster before I got up here to preach, but I brought the can as proof that I value Pastor Carl and his Monster addictions. I can't believe I drank that so fast. Usually it takes me like half a day to drink a Monster. I downed that thing. I was really proud of myself. So I have this rope. It's a long rope. I want to talk to you and put something into perspective. Okay, so how many of you can see this little blue piece of the rope? The little blue piece of the rope. All right? So this little blue piece of the rope is your life from birth till you die. Right there. Okay? That's your life. It looks pretty good. It's very blue. You probably drank a lot of water. So that's your life, okay? The rest of this rope is eternity. Okay? So the rest of this rope is eternity. My question to you is, what are you going to do with this little blue piece to affect the rest of this rope? What are you going to do? See, I tied this knot here in eternity, right? I tied this knot here in eternity because I strongly believe that as we focus on eternity, our friendships here on earth are vastly improved. See, many of us, we focus on friendships maybe because we care a lot about the other person, which is fantastic. You should. You should care a lot about the other person. Some of us focus on friendships because we really value friendships around us, and it's almost like a selfishness. We want to see how many friends we can have and how cool we can be. But I want to be caissard, tied tightly, strongly bound to eternity. And my part in affecting eternity. I loved the prayer time before service tonight. I thought, who did the devotion? Dude, that was awesome. What you were talking about is I am going to make this entire piece, this entire blue piece, affect all of this. Affect all of eternity. My life's work is to focus on Christ and his plans that he has for me and to pull godly influences into my life to spur me on while I can spur them on so that we can reach a world that so desperately needs to know that there's a God who came to earth and died for them so that their life didn't stop here but goes on into eternity with him. So where are you at tonight? Have you ever experienced Jesus as a close friend? I want you to bow your heads and close your eyes. Have you ever experienced Jesus as a close friend? I've been talking. Jesus came from heaven to earth, died on a cross, defeated death, rose again, so that he could have relationship with you for the rest of eternity. And so if you feel something stirring inside of you, maybe you've never accepted Christ before, or maybe you have in the past, but you're like, man, I am nowhere near as close to him right now as I was last week or 3 weeks ago or last year when we went to Atlanta. I feel like I'm slacking a little bit. It's okay. Tonight, you can make a choice to tie a knot, tie your knot in eternity. So I'm just going to ask on the count of three that if that's you, if you feel something stirring inside of you, you've never experienced the friendship of Jesus and you want that for your life, you want eternal life with Christ, you believe that he's your Savior, I want you to raise your hand on the count of three. One, two, three. All over this room. Yeah, I see that hand. Are there any others? Yep. Lord, I thank you for the hands that were raised. God, I thank you that there are people in this room that are dedicating their lives to you, God. to you and the purposes that you've placed in their lives. God, I thank you for each and every person here, the gifts and the talents and the abilities that you've so uniquely placed inside of them, God, to reach people with the good news of Jesus. God, thank you. Thank you. Amen. Keep your heads bowed, eye closed. Maybe you sit here tonight and you're realizing, maybe my closest friends aren't helping me be close with Jesus. Or maybe, if you're really honest with yourself, maybe you're realizing that you aren't helping your friends be close with Jesus. Maybe you are feeling sick, or maybe you have some sort of ailment in your body. What we're going to do is I'm going to have the leaders, the Rage leaders, come up right now. And I just want to spend some time. I don't know if the sound booth peeps back there could play some music or something real soft, or if the worship team comes up. Kadri, come up as well. Kadri is already coming up. They're like, yeah, I'm coming. Come tonight. Receive prayer, whatever it may be. Friends of yours who aren't building you up, or maybe you've been struggling building other people up. Come receive prayer. It's the step out in faith that will change your life. So I encourage you to take a step tonight.
Thanks for joining us for our podcast today. If you'd like more info on us, you can find us on the web at www.ragestudentmin.com or follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/ragestudentministries.